Speaking about body membership, and last week we spoke specifically about functioning in the body, the need to function in the body. And I agreed with everything. I was really glad that Jack Hicks brought out what he brought out last Sunday morning as qualification. It needed to be brought, and I agreed with everything he brought. Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 through 5. Last week we spoke about the need to function in the body if you're going to be a member of the body. And this week we'll speak about being members of one another. Being members of one another. Chapter 12 of Romans, verses 4 and 5. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same function, same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And every one members one of another." Now, I'll give you about 5 points here, an explanation of what this means, members one of another, and then we'll go into some practical applications. First of all, members one of another means mutual dependency upon one another. Mutual dependency upon one another. Everyone is dependent upon everyone else. One member is able to function properly because of the other members. That's number two. In other words, you're able to function in the place that God has put you in this body at this particular point in time because the other members are here. And hopefully they're carrying out their particular function. Number three, each member is able to be a member because of one another. Four, the fingers are dependent upon other members. All the members aid and help one another to be what they are. Now let me make some practical applications. Members one of another, in other words, you could say that it means that the whole body is for you and you're for the whole body. When you think about it, it's kind of a blessing. This whole body, when you came into this body, the whole body was for you. Every single member in this body was for you. In other words, God constructed the body so that every single member had the whole body working for it. And the whole body had you working for it. Which I'm not going to speak about too much this morning. I'm going to speak about the fact that the whole body is for you. The whole body of Christ, this particular local body, is for your growth and your edification in the Lord. It's for you, if you'll receive from it. So the whole body being for you actually means that when you come into the body, you found a great friend. When you come into the body, you found a great friend. I'm not speaking about a physical body, I'm speaking about the spiritual body of Christ. When you come into the body of Christ, this body of Christ, you found a very great and wonderful friend. You found somebody that would teach you. You found somebody that would help you. You found somebody that would aid you. You found somebody that would love you, encourage you, appreciate you. And the best of all, you found somebody that would correct you. Glory. You found somebody that would correct you. When you came into the body, you found somebody that would help you. They would help you. Somebody that knew that you needed help. In other words, Paul, when he wrote members one of another, he knew, at least by the Spirit, or at least God knew when he gave it to him, that every single individual in this world, no matter how great they are, no matter how much talent they have, they need help of other people. And believe it or not, the reason why you're in this body is because You need help. That's why you're here. Now, there's a lot of other reasons, but they usually come under that. And because we need help. Most people don't know why they're in the body of Christ. It says in, I'm not sure where it is, Hebrews chapter 12, I think. Not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, or chapter 10. Not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, especially since you see the day approaching. So most people think, well, I'm supposed to be in a body. My pastor that I had at one time said that I should stay in the body. I should be in a body. People have taught me that I should have a body of Christ, be in a certain body. That's not it. It's not just following a commandment. You need to be in the body of Christ because you're in dire need of help. You're in dire need of help. It's not just because that God says that you're to be in a body. It's because you need help. And that help just happens to be able to only come from others. And you may say, well, I can pray a lot, and I can fast, and I go out and witness, and I dedicate, and I consecrate, and I meditate upon the Word. But that won't do it in itself. You've got to have other people. You're dependent upon other souls because they have things that you don't have. And some people say, well, I don't need, who says that I need help? Well, God put you in the body. And God put you in the body because He knew you needed help. So if God thinks you need help, then undoubtedly we need help. God puts you in the body. If a person doesn't need help, then why are they in the body? If a person doesn't need help from other members, then why come to church? Why do we come to church? What do we need teachers for? What do we need a pastor for? What do we need elders for? What do we need those who are set in positions of leading for? What do we need anybody for if we don't need help? God knows that we are a people that need help and that will never come to the place that God desires to bring us step by step unless we have one another. If we don't have one another, we absolutely won't get there. We've got to have one another. The Apostle Paul had a home church in Antioch. And the other ones had a home church too, possibly in Jerusalem. They had home bodies. Now they were in places of leadership and oversight and they were traveling around, but they had home bodies. God put you in a body because He knew you needed help. And the best information I could give each one of you is to receive it. Receive the help of God that He has through other members in the body. Whether they're in an oversight position, whether they're in an undersight position, or whatever their position is, receive the help of others. And irregardless of what your position is, receive the help of others. Now, there has to be some wisdom used. But nevertheless, we're dependent upon one another. We've got to receive one another. The Bible says, receive ye one another, according to Christ Jesus. Now, some people find a great and mysterious thing that happens to them when they come into this body. And I've heard a couple people speak on this line. Out there in the church world or wherever they were before they maybe came to this body or some other body that was moving for God, they were mightily used, possibly, and there were people out there that were dependent upon them. God's power was moving through them and God was speaking through them. Perhaps they were witnessing and souls were being won into the kingdom. They noticed themselves giving messages in the church and God was anointing them. And then they come into this body and they're sitting there dead on the log. And they wonder what happened to them. It's because out there in the world or in the common church world, there were people out there that needed your help. But the strange thing happened when you came here. There were people here that could help you. So God took you and stuck you in the pew there and allowed the people to help you. And that's why some that were mightily used out there are going through a little process here before you're used. God has some people here that can actually help you. That's why you're not being used, at least one of the reasons, why possibly you aren't being used as you were before you came here. There's people here that can help you. Don't disdain the help of one another. Some people may say, well, I don't need any correction. Believe me. Now, you may not think that you may ever say that, but it may happen. I don't need any correction. Or some will say, well, God can correct me anytime He wants to. Yes, but He may do it through your brother. I'll accept the correction of God. I'll let God teach me. I'll let God help me. I'll let God aid me. I'll let God... Yes, but He may do it through your brother. In fact, He probably will do it through your brother. In fact, it's a very good possibility. They think, well, God is my help. Yes, but God is your help through your brothers and sisters. Now, there's a truth that God is your help also just alone by Himself, because you have to depend upon God and not upon man. But there's also the other side of it, which is God is your help through the brethren. And people make a great mistake when they only go to God when they're having problems. Now, if you don't need to go to anybody and you're doing okay, that's a different story. But if you need the help of others, and you're in need, and there's a possibility that you're going to backslide if you don't get some kind of help, and you can't seem to break through to God, please go to your brothers and sisters. Now, someone may sit there and say, well, I don't need any help, and if I need help, sure, I'll go to the brothers and sisters. And then a trial comes, and do you go to your brothers and sisters? And if not, then why don't we? Because we don't realize why we're in the body. It's not because you're an individual all by yourself. It's because you need help. Everybody in the body should know that everybody needs help. The guy next to you needs help. You need help. And you should realize that, well, he knows I need help, and I know he needs help. And I know they need help, and I know they need help. And whenever anything comes forth, it's not just that the individual is somebody great. It's because he needs help, and you need help. Everybody needs help. There isn't an individual in this assembly that doesn't need help, that's okay all by himself. He needs help. If we could realize that we're not alone and that everybody needs help, then we wouldn't disdain the correction or the help or the aid or the encouragement, which we normally don't disdain, but sometimes. The encouragement, appreciation of one another. Some people say, well, I spend 3 hours of prayer a day. I study God's Word. I go to Bible college. I don't need anybody's help. Believe it or not, God's going to be real good to you. He's going to send all kinds of people your way to help you. Strange when you pray that, God, I've got to have your heart. I've got to have love. So you find all kinds of people coming your way that you just can't stand. Mary Matilda comes your way. And she just has that voice. And that way of speaking seems to hit you like she's trying to teach you every time she comes to you. Let her speak the way she speaks and love the sister up and down. Love her all over. She's a wonderful sister. And let your flesh be cut by Mary Matilda's voice. Or maybe some brother comes up to another brother. Maybe he's a brother that's being used in the assembly. And you just can't stand him because you believe you pray more than he does. You believe you read the Word more than he does. You believe that you should be the one up there. The thing to do is receive him and receive what he has to bring. Receive the brother. Receive the sister. Don't go around correcting one another. The best thing to do is receive one another. Receive what they have. Don't disdain it. Receive it. Don't say a thing about what they had to bring if it's on the lines of health. Don't say a thing about it. Just say, well, I don't know if it's true, but I sure am going to think about it and I'm going to apply it. Rather than saying, well, who do you think you are? Here I am, I pray 3 hours a day. All you do is sit around and go out and talk to people about the Lord. And throw that in. That's what God will do if you pray. Most likely. There's other routes it takes too. But don't think it's strange that if you pray for love, yes, you'll go through a trial possibly too. Don't think it's strange if some people come around your way that you just can't stand to rub shoulders with. Or inside, can't stand to rub shoulders with. God moves through the body of Christ. And when God brings forth the tongue interpretation through somebody or through two people, it's so easy to believe it's God. Everybody knows that. If you're a believer. A prophecy comes forth, and we're right down there ready to follow every single word that comes forth. Or someone gets up here and ministers a message. You know it's from God. But what happens when your dorm leader comes to you and says, those dishes are just stacking up to the kitchen ceiling, rubbing against the ceiling, beams all over the ceiling. Well, it's not my turn. Somebody's got to get those dishes from the ceiling. Well, I receive messages from the pulpit, and I receive tongue interpretation, and I receive prophecy. I'll receive anything anybody brings me. Hey, Pete, an elder says, hey, Pete, I just wanted to talk to you about what you brought today in church. It was good. It was real good. But just, you know, be sure you're sensitive to the Spirit so you don't, your timing isn't a little bit off. You know, it was good what you brought. I appreciated a good message. What do you mean, timing off? Same brother just said, well, I'll receive anything from the Lord. Prophecy, tongue interpretation, message from the pulpit. How about the elder in the corner over there? That's how the body becomes a body of Christ. I'm going to get to something a little later that will clear that up a little bit more. The truth is, God is in your brothers and sisters. God is in your brothers. This is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. If we're the body of Christ, then we have the Spirit of the Lord in us. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost. That's to another extent. Much better extent. We are the body of Christ. That means that your members are the body of Christ, people around you. That means that they have the Holy Ghost moving in them too. So if they come to you to help you, to aid you, to appreciate you, to encourage you, to, depending upon their capacity spiritually, to correct you, to aid you, realize that it just may be God. It just may be God. It may be the Almighty God moving through your brother and sister. And if you don't receive it, you may not be receiving God Himself. God's help to you, for you, through Him. It may be God's help. It may be what you were crying about in the back room in prayer. They may come right then to help you. It might be the Spirit of the Lord. God called them as well as you. Now there's another facet of this. Some people know that it's God when it's a prophecy. But God forbid that the church ever come to a place to where they need a sign before they'll do anything. Now if a brother comes to you, let me say, your dorm leader comes to you and asks you to clean up the dishes. Don't wait for him to say, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, clean those dirty dishes. Because you may not get it. Well, I follow the voice of God. That may be the voice of God to clean up the dirty dishes through your brother in the dorm. Don't wait for a sign. Prophecy is easy to follow. Tongues interpretations are easy to follow. A powerful message is easy to follow. But we need to follow and receive the help of our brothers and sisters without signs. They're members of the body of Christ. The Bible says, receive ye one another according to Christ. Now I want to speak just a little bit about dorm situations. And I just touched upon it just for a few minutes. When the brother in your dorm, and I'm speaking about mundane areas, the brother in your dorm who's been set over the dorm, recognized by the church, comes up to you and the putrid smell of your week old socks is rolling out of the bedroom. Now, believe me, I was in 6 dorms before, thank God, I got married. Six dorms. And I was partially over one and over two. And I know that the putrid smell of week-old socks comes rolling out of the bedroom. Amongst the other infamous things. So when your brother, I'm speaking about the men, when your brother comes up to you and asks you to kindly put those socks in some kind of solid container, receive it. Don't say, well, I don't think they smell. That's because you've been living with those things. Your dorm leader thinks they smell. Your precious brother's in the bedroom, same bedroom that won't say anything. I bet they're dying under it too. The point is not that you don't think they smell. The point is your brother asked you, the one that's over the dorm, to put him in some kind of container so they don't smell. Well, God wouldn't tell me to pick up my dirty socks. Believe it or not, I believe he would. Not a thus saith the Lord, pick up your dirty socks, but a brother, come on, your stinky socks are just putrefying the place. I believe the Lord would, through a brother, through a strange way that it just doesn't look like the Lord. And the reason I say that is because what you do in the mundane is going to have an definite effect upon your spiritual life. Believe it or not, if you don't pick up your dirty socks, there's a possibility depending upon where your heart's at and how often that type of thing happens, possibility that that is going to have an effect on your spiritual life. Oh, come on. Dirty socks. Dirty socks. Dirty sink, dirty sink. You mean if my brother tells me to wash the dishes and I just put it off for a day and they're stacked up to the ceiling, you mean that's going to have an effect on my spiritual life? Possibility. Good possibility. Because it's not just the event of those dishes stacked up to the ceiling, it's the matter of procrastination. It just may be that your dorm leader knows some things and has some strong points that you don't have. And just because he doesn't explain that the dirty dishes may have an effect on your spiritual life, please receive the help of your brothers and sisters. It doesn't need a thus saith the Lord. All it needs is a little bit of maturity behind it. Somebody that knows where they are in the Lord. If it's wrong, it won't hurt you to clean up the dishes. If it wasn't your turn, it won't hurt you to clean up the dishes. If they weren't your socks, put a glove on and hide them anyway. We need to receive the help of one another. Well, there's no glory in it. There isn't supposed to be any glory in it. That's the mundane area. According to your diligence in the mundane area, so will be your diligence in spiritual areas. God knows that if you're not diligent in mundane areas, you won't be diligent in spiritual areas. So he starts you in mundane areas. Someone will say, well, I don't have time. There's brothers out there that need the Lord. I've got to get out there and witness. The dishes are stacking up, and he's out there trying to save souls. Believe me, of course, there's wisdom needs to be used in that area, too, depending upon the needs. But there's a good possibility that you should start with the dishes. When you get those done, go out and tell some people about the Lord. How can it be? That's the way it works. Mundane areas, not all the time, but very often, it's best if you've got an obligation to other people. And there's other people you're living with. And it's going to have an effect on their lives. Start with the dishes. The health of the dorm is all important. Both physically and spiritually. So it doesn't matter if there's any glory in it. Spiritual thing to do or no spiritual things to do. If you have trouble doing what your dorm leader needs to do, you'll have trouble, if you never get over it, in mundane areas. You'll have trouble all your life in following the Lord unless you've overcome it. God absolutely cannot depend upon, he may give you some, but he cannot depend upon you the way he can depend upon somebody else if you're not diligent in mundane areas. I have never known a spiritual man yet that wasn't diligent in mundane areas. And going on outreaches, we come in contact with quite a few. And every single one of them that I notice has been diligent in mundane areas. Most of them had wives to give them the help. Maybe they really needed the help. Maybe they were procrastinators. A wife is a good thing. Bible says. But I have never known a spiritual man that wasn't diligent in mundane areas. And believe me, the people that are in overseeing areas in places of leadership in this body have a lot of mundane things to do, depending upon the capacity and their diligence in the mundane things. Mundane things are very, very, very important. So please, receive the help of your dorm leader. If he wants you to make your bed. Don't leave it. Ugh, I can almost preach a message on that after being through what I've been through. Just go ahead and do it and realize it's going to have an implication on your spiritual life. If you're diligent in the mundane things in the dorm life, God's going to begin to use you much quicker than if you weren't. It's for sure. It works that way. So we need to receive the help and the guidance of one another. What I'd like to do now is return back to the church. Speak about the church. Now I said possibly your brothers and sisters have strong points that you don't have, which means that you have weak points that they don't have. But it also means that you have strong points that they don't have. And that's the way God's ordered the body. I'm going to drop that because I'm coming back to it. I said earlier, don't despise the correction of those that are over you, and I mean in the capacity to give correction. Don't despise the correction of those that are over you. And nobody in the whole assembly, no matter who they are, can say, well, I don't need correction. God knows that you need correction. That's why you're here. Not just to receive correction, but that's one of the reasons why you're here. Correction is a wonderful, beautiful, blessed experience. It is. So some say, well, I just don't think that a person is spiritual if he needs to receive correction. A spiritual man, a wise man, he doesn't need to receive correction. I want to show you a few scriptures in Proverbs. We'll start with chapter 6 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. Now listen what the Lord says here. 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is life. And glory to God, reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. This is what the Lord said. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Brutish. Chapter 15 and verse 12. 15 and verse 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Neither will he go unto the wise. So what does God call somebody that won't receive correction? He calls him brutish, and he calls him a scorner. And I think in another place he calls him a sluggard. Now wouldn't you love to be called a scorner and a brute? No one wants to be called a scorner and a brute. Let's look at the other side of it. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 18. And see what you think about this scripture. It says in verse 18 of chapter 13, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. He that regardeth reproof shall be honored. One more, chapter 15 and verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. And what's that saying? That saying, what I said a little earlier, everybody needs to be corrected. Correction is the way of life. There isn't a single individual that qualifies for no correction. Everybody needs to receive correction. Then nobody's spiritual. No. The person that's spiritual is the person that receives the correction. The person that is wise, like we just read, is the person that receives correction. The person that is prudent is the person that receives correction. The person that is brutish is the person that doesn't receive correction. The person that is spiritual isn't the person that doesn't need correction. That's the brute. The person that's spiritual is the person that receives it. Doesn't necessarily follow it, but he receives it. He thinks it over. He takes it to the Lord. He considers it. Talks it over with himself. Makes sure that it doesn't apply before he throws it away. But he does receive it. He does receive it. A spiritual man receives correction. Proverbs chapter, the same chapter, verse 32. A spiritual man, a wise man, needs to receive correction. A spiritual man and a wise man will receive correction. They're still spiritual, they're still wise, but they'll receive correction. Verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Now that's a wonderful thing. Somebody in a correcting position in the assembly comes up to you, needs to correct you. So please, don't put your spiritual hands over your spiritual rear end. Let him wind up and give it to you. I remember one time when I was in grade school and I was shooting staples at this girl next to me. The teacher said, Gordy, you do that one more time and it's down to the boiler room. So he turned away and I promptly set one up. She goes, ah! And the teacher looked back, okay. Took me by the arm and he says, you got two choices. One, take a spanking, be center in the basketball game tonight. I was playing basketball. Two, don't take a spanking and don't play in the game. I said, I'll take it. Took me down to the boiler room and pulled out that monstrosity of a birthday pal. That thing must have been 12 inches thick. No, that's what it looked like to me then. And then he brought in this teacher that I always wondered about so she could watch. Bent me over, and I mean he really bent me over, and he held me there. These were the good old days. Brought back that paddle, and I knew it was going to be something that I had never felt before. And just, whack! And went, said one more, and I go, oh. One more. And he didn't let up. He gave a little bit harder. And I thought I was gonna break my backbone. I thought I was gonna lose my rear end. I went, crawl! And I about went under the pain. He said, it's over. But I received it. I received it and I've never been the same since. Believe me, I wasn't about to put my hands back there. We need not to put our spiritual hands over our spiritual rear. It may hurt. It may practically break your backbone, but we need to be broken. So if somebody in a correcting position comes up to you, somebody in that capacity in the assembly, receive it. Don't think that you don't need correction. Because if you receive it, just think, with every whack to the spiritual rear end, you're receiving spirituality. You're becoming wise. You're becoming wise with every whack. Every time your brother reproves you and you receive it, you're becoming wiser and more prudent. Every time somebody in that capacity in the assembly reproves you, you're becoming prudent. And every time a person doesn't receive it, they're becoming more and more and more brutish. That's what God says. So it's a blessing, a joy, an opportunity to grow in the Lord to receive correction. No matter how much it just twists your flesh to receive it. Go ahead and sit there. Hold it in. Smile and receive it. And say, thank you. Go away and think about it. Now, this doesn't mean that everybody's start to go around and correct one another. Remember, I said those in that capacity. Absolutely. Don't go around and start correcting one another. But you can aid one another, and you can help one another, and you can encourage one another, and you can appreciate one another, and you can love one another, pray with one another, console one another, but wait till you're in the position to correct one another, or have been given that position. So we need to receive the help of one another and realize that we're members, one of another. Receive the help. of one another. God has placed those in the body that are strong in points that you aren't, I said earlier. That are strong in points that you aren't. Don't think that you lack spirituality because you're weak in areas that they aren't. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul just gets through, this is verse, let's start with verse 23. Paul just gets through speaking about the body and saying that some are ears, some are hands, some are feet, that we need all of them. That one can't be without the other. That all should function together. If everybody's an ear, then where's the rest of the body? He says in verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Spirituality? No. To that part which lacked. Now, I believe, truly and sincerely, that we are going to come to perfection as a body. As a body. We are going to come to experiential perfection as a body. Individually, we'll come to perfection both legally, needing the righteousness of Christ because of our weaknesses, and experientially, because of where we've come to be in the Lord. But as a body, we're going to be experientially perfect. Because in the areas that you're weak, He's strong. In the areas that He's weak, He's strong. In the areas that He's weak, He's strong. And there isn't any weakness in the body. It's perfect. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23. It's the body that's going in the rapture. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23. Speaking about the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The church is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 13. Familiar scriptures. It says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. And that word perfecting could mean mending or training. It doesn't necessarily mean coming up in the Lord. It doesn't mean having a ribbon in the Lord. Being brought to perfection. It means being trained or being mended, brought back to the place in God where you should be, having all weaknesses and problems in your life taken away and fitting into the body, the universal body. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and unto a perfect man. Now that word is the word perfect. The whole body is going to come into experiential perfection. The whole body. In other words, from now until the day of the rapture, you're going to be dependent upon others. And as you're dependent upon others, you'll gain strength in areas you didn't have. There are those in the body that have strengths that you don't have, I just said. And as you listen to them and receive correction from them and receive the help of them, you'll begin to have strengths in the same areas and come up. But from now until the day of the rapture, or whenever it is that we go, hopefully in the rapture, but from now until the day of the rapture, we'll say, we're going to be dependent upon one another. And the Bible says that according to our dependency upon one another, we're going to come to perfection. As we're willing to work together and allow God to fuse us together and make us into that complete body, a according to our willingness to receive one another and receive the help of one another, flow together, we're going to come to perfection. But no one individual is going to come to experiential perfection in and of himself. It's going to be in the body. Now, there are those that have strengths even when they just come into the body. So maybe it takes you time to get. But believe me, they're weak in other areas. And when you get those strengths, you'll really deeply appreciate them. Very deeply appreciate them. There may be some that can get up and just pound out the Word of God, and you're down there just longing to be used in the same capacity. Keep longing. That's good. Keep longing to be used in the same capacity, but keep praying. And when God, and you'll know it'll be God, brings you into that place, there'll be such an appreciation in your heart for what God has done and what God is doing through you, it'll be worth it all. It definitely will be worth it all. There are those that just can spend all kinds of time in prayer, and they can just let their mind go and yield unto God. And then there are those that just struggle and struggle and struggle. But if you use it for an example, take it to the Lord and begin to allow God to bring you into that place, He will. He definitely will. The Bible says He will. If your heart's that direction, you're seeking God, He will. But you're still always going to be weak. We're always going to be dependent upon one another. But we can grow to the capacity that we're willing to grow in. Whether we come into an oversight position or whether we don't, it's all up to us. It's still up to our free will. I'm not saying that you're ordained to be weak all your life. That's not true. You can come into the position that you're willing to come into, but you can never, in yourself, become Christ. The body is going to be Christ. No individual. Am I out of time back there? Well, it's 10:10. Let's read down a little further. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, I read about that last week. And I said last week that if you don't receive, and Jack qualified this really good, the correction of one another and the teaching of one another, we're always going to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. We'll never come into a stable position. It says that He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. And He goes on, till we all come, He goes on, 14, that we be no more tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And one more scripture. And I might quit a little early, I'm not sure, depending on how long this takes. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, verses 25 through 27. To cap it off. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The church is going to be the one that is without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And each one of you individually may wonder how you're ever going to make it because of all your weaknesses. Stay in the body. Because for your weaknesses, there's another brother or sister over there that has strength in that same area. And as we grow in the Lord, we'll come to a place to where everybody is walking and moving in the capacity that they're able to. And in that capacity, we'll be a bride without spot or wrinkle and be taken up into glory. God bless you.